Hello, welcome to episode 98 of the Legendary Frogcast. I'm your host, Joseph Blanchette, and here's Casey McDonald.
Hi, 98? Yeah, I've probably been saying this for a while. Every time we do this, probably, I forget that it's getting close to 100, but...
Yeah, it's crazy, and like, probably three people listen to it, but we still keep doing it.
Those three people, you know who you are. They're yep. just like, they're just, you know, they wake up every day and they refresh the page to see if... This is what I do with most web comics. No, like, I do this all the time. It'll be like, Dr. McNinja, I know it doesn't update today, but I'm gonna check anyways. You know?
Maybe he has a special news item. So a few months ago, we did a Warlords of Draenor podcast for the new World of Warcraft expansion, but since
I ruined it.
Well, no, it was my fault, because I messed up the audio when I was recording, and there was this horrible echo, and I probably could have released it for the heck of it and say, hey, this sounds really bad, but I decided not to.
It's like Casey wouldn't stop cursing and saying inappropriate jokes.
But since the new raid tier is imminent and kind of like a new phase of Warlords of Draenor is about to start in probably a few weeks, we figured this would be a good place to kind of review where the game is right now, and what we want to see changed, and what we're happy with, and what we're not happy with, and all that stuff.
It's a weird... I apologize. It's such a weird expansion, this one, in my opinion. It's very strange, because it looked amazing at the beginning, and I think a lot of people thought this too, and it's kind of gone all over the place, to be honest. Like, it just, like, in what its principles are... Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Its principles have stayed pretty consistent the whole time. But I don't know if I agree with most of those principles.
Since we didn't release our initial talk, we can talk briefly about what we thought of the launch. Like, if you remember, it had a really kind of bad launch with, like, queue times and crashes and all that stuff. A DDoS attacks and all that stuff.
It was a big launch, too. Like, a lot of people came back to the game. They released the numbers, and it was like...
It was like 3 million.
Yeah, it was like, you know... Yeah, it was a little bit ridiculous. More than they've ever had before at the start of an expansion. It was that much of a jump.
Yeah, like, WoW, at that point, had been plateauing for a while, and all of a sudden, like, we get an influx of 3 million players almost right away. And that was cool. They've since, most of them have left.
Most if not all.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of people came back.
Just to see it.
Maybe it didn't gel with them, or like they weren't raiders. Like I'm not going to get into raiding again. And so like they left after a month or two. That's probably what happened.
Well, it's worth mentioning because... Like, a lot of people came in, right? More than there's ever been, and they all just left. And it's like, Blizzard was saying, like, oh, we always get people to start up every expansion. They just show up and they don't stick around. But I was thinking, like,
Not 3 million.
Yeah, this was a huge jump. And, like, I honestly, they've been defending it, you know, the forum posters at Blizzard, the people that, you know, respond to forum post stuff are always super vague and... just generally supportive, you know, whatever. They're customer service representatives, that's what they are. But, like, I've not really agreed with a lot of the stuff they've been saying lately, and I'm kind of a Blizzard fanboy, so that's weird of me to say, but I'm sure we'll get into that later, so...
Yeah, like the Mists of Pandaria drop, it wasn't 3 million.
No, not even. In fact, I think it was just kind of, it only raised a little bit over Cataclysm. Like, it was pretty much in line with, like, that...
Yeah, like, it was a gradual thing, and a lot of it happened during that, like, year-long, drought. That's when, like, there was a little dip after the expansion launch, but actually I think it went up a little bit, and then, like, it, kind of evened out.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember when Mists of Pandaria came out, people were like, oh, pandas, what is this, a game for babies, or whatever, but then, like... I felt like it was one of their strongest expansions as far as content and storytelling, and I think that a lot of people that stuck through Mists of Pandaria agree with me. Like the people.
Oh yeah, like the entirety. Like people forget like the year long, like hiatus, but like the Siege of Orgrimmar lasted over a year.
I didn't even notice, to be honest. Yeah, and I didn't feel it.
And sure, like if something's around that long, you're going to get sick of it, and it might even like. Diminish your feelings of the overall thing when, like, nothing new's coming out. But
that's the note you go out on.
If you look, like, well, this really quick, we all like the level up stuff in Warlords of Draenor. I guess that's what we wanted to say.
I think our first podcast, we were just in love with it, weren't we? We had some complaints about how the story was presented after, like, the initial few levels, but we were like, this is the best expansion ever.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. But yeah, like, level up stuff is pretty much on par with Pandaria in terms of all that stuff. But yeah, so but if you look back at Myst, like and they said they released content a little bit too quick, but there was always like something going on the horizon. Like, not 2 months after the expansion released, we had the Landfall patch, which had like the war in that beach area, and like you know, that was a big daily quest hub that a lot of people enjoyed and got a cool reward at the end. And a few months after that, we got the Throne of Thunder, which was another big area, had a raid, had a bunch of daily quests, had cool rewards, like stuff you work towards. And like the Baron stuff wasn't a big, you know, content stuff, but you know, it was still an expansion of the story.
It was something, yeah.
And then like Siege of Orgrimmar was like, had a good like end point of the story. It like fit in with the themes of the expansion.
It was a good raid as well. If you're someone who doesn't give a crap about story, it was a good raid on its own.
Like all the raids. Actually, I think the raids kind of got better with Mists of Pandaria, and usually like with a Cataclysm, they got worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's typical. I remember Wrath of Lich King, they each just kind of escalated. Mists of Pandaria, I mean, Throne of Thunder was a real big highlight, but Siege of Orgrimmar, I mean, it was around a long time, people got tired of it, but it was on its own a very well-rounded, I mean, every single boss in there had some kind of weight in the story up to that point, so.
Each one of the bad guys, like, you felt their presence and like their presence in the world.
You felt their presence, as in Christmas presents.
But, like, even if, like, the Thunder King wasn't, I mean, like, there was a quest line, like, where you resurrect him, so he wasn't in the game a lot, but by the time he went to, like, the Isle of Thunder, I mean, he felt like a villain, because you learn about him through, like, the lore and stuff in the game, about something how the Thunder King had this huge empire that got overthrown.
Something I don't like, in contrast in Warlords of Draenor so far, is I feel like the whole thing is, like, especially this next patch coming up, it's like, look, everybody, it's Archimonde. Remember Archimonde? He's back. It's like, I feel like this whole expansion has been kind of that. Like, there's a lot of flair around it. There's a lot of flash, a lot of glitter thrown at it, and there's a lot of production quality there as well. But I feel like a lot of it just feels like, hey, Burning Crusaders, remember Outland? It's back!
Yeah, like, you know, Archimonde, if you have no idea who Archimonde is, even though a lot of, like,
Warcraft 3.
There's been very little build-up to Archimonde in this expansion.
There's, like an archaeology item or something.
Yeah, and there's, like, I mean, there's, like, some Legion stuff in Talador, and I'm sure his name gets mentioned somewhere. Like, I just don't remember. But it's like, yeah, you have Archimonde because he's this big demon guy, and unless they have plans for him in the future, like, Un'Goldan probably should have been the end boss.
Well, I'm sure they have plans for him, though, is the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but especially based on the spoiler alert, that Gul'dan takes over, like, the Iron Horde, essentially, is a pretty big deal. That's the other weird, I mean, like, okay, I will say this, in defense of Warlords of Draenor, one thing they're doing really good is I have no idea how this is going to end. Like, there is the suspense level that I'm sitting going, like, okay, well, I know Grommash has been stated to be the final boss, but how does that happen? I mean, Gul'dan's taking over the Iron Horde.
We don't really know if that's Grommash even true anymore.
Prisoner. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm at the edge of my seat. Like, well, what's going to happen? You know, like, that's a good thing. But, like, I feel like the presentation, like, up until now, the presentation hasn't been very stellar. Like, a lot of the bad guys, haven't done anything. Like, I feel like this whole, so far it's just been like, you know, oh, we came into Outland because the orcs were threatening to show up on Azeroth, but hadn't really done it on force yet, which I know is technically false, but this is just how it feels to be.
Draenor, we show up, not Outland.
Sorry, yeah, so we show up on Draenor and we're just like, you stupid orcs, get out of here, and we blow up the gate, and then we stay here and blow up all their other stuff. Like, we might as well just go to Grommish's house and, like, step on his rose bush and be like, F you, Grommish, and then, like, spit on his door. And, like, that's what this feels like. And he's just, like, in his house crying. Like, you guys took away my family.
Well, I even thought this when I was playing through it. Like, the Iron Horde invasion seemed to be not a threat after we blew up the portal.
Yeah.
And, like,
why not just leave? The portal's down. We can just go home. What are they going to do?
Like, the stuff with Gul'dan built up a threat throughout the entire thing, which I liked.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of Iron Horde stuff. Like, every once in a while, at the end of the zone, we would blow up something important.
Yeah, it'd just be like, oh, that's right, Shattrad exists, and, yeah. And here's Blackhand just got a boat. Blow up the boat! Like,
yeah, they did a really, I was going to say, bad job building up these characters throughout the thing, because, like
Kargath?
Yeah, the very first raid boss is Kargath. You see him, like, once in the level-up zones, and it's not even important. You just kind of show up, you turn into a bird, and he's like, oh, birds are no match for me, and, like, he puts you in a cage, and that's it.
He just leaves. What? Must be an Alliance thing, because I never did that.
Oh. But
that's funny though. Well, birds are no match for me.
Well,
what a weird thing. Why do you turn into a bird? It's like, I just imagine it being like, okay, gotta go stop Kargath. We're gonna.
Is that zone where you get the essence of a Tarok?
Oh, I see. And, I just imagine it being like, I thought maybe like, because I haven't done this quest, so I just imagined like Khadgar's there or something. He's like, all right, you gotta go stop this big orc warlord. We're gonna turn you into a groundhog to do this. It's no, like, okay.
It's that thing where you're getting the essence of a Tarok or whatever his name is. And like, he says, might as well test it out on Kargath. He's right over there.
He's over here. Well, yeah, but he shows up in the raid and he's just kind of like, you guys owe me a fight. And you bitch slap him.
Sorry, yeah, I remember that thing happened at level 90.
Yeah. And then it's like, you know, he just immediately dies, and you take his hand and his pants and his hat, and you're like, oh, we killed him.
If it wasn't for those Lords of War, like, shorts, which are awesome.
Which are really good, yeah.
We wouldn't hardly know anything about these characters unless you saw those. It's like his history as a gladiator fighter and like the leader of this kind of liberated group of orcs, like, is not important to the story at all, like, or anything he's involved in.
What's really weird, so, like, Mists of Pandaria, I think Blizzard, they're like in an interview or a video, some behind the scenes thing, they talk about it, but at some point someone says, you know, like, I think we grew up a little bit with Mists of Pandaria. Like, there's, I don't want to say that there's more at stake, but, like, it means more. It's more personal, it's more, you know, whatever. There's more story happening. It's not just like, oh, a bunch of orcs, oh, or whatever, you know, which is kind of how I feel Warlords of Draenor
is. That's what Warlords of Draenor is.
It's like, yeah, it's like a big giant step backwards, where it's like, I feel like what happened is that they were in a meeting, and then someone said, like, we gotta find out a new bad guy for the next expansion. And someone goes, like, what about all the orc warlords? It's like, oh, they're old. Let's go back in time and fight them. And someone goes,
well, they're all dead.
Yeah, it's like, someone was just like, yeah, let's go, let's fight, it'll be badass, or whatever.
Actually, like, I think the only alive warlord after the original games was Kargath. And he's a five-man boss in Burning Crusade.
Well, like, all of the plot in this feels like it was made on the fulcrum of what sounds cool. Because, like, there's a lot of deep stuff that could have been brought up with this story. Like, Thrall meeting his father, Durotan, for example, which is just brushed right over. And, like, Grommish and Garrosh, for example, again, just brushed right over. And, none of that stuff meant anything. There was no character development anywhere. Like, we kind of get some character development for Grommish, but, well, the other warlords, it's all really only in those videos they made, and none of it's really in-game. It's just a bunch of big muscular wrestler bad guys that have shown up that we have to fight. And, like, it's like, I don't know how to describe that. It's so weird. It's so weird, especially after Mists of Pandaria.
Well, like, Grommash is supposed to be this, like, huge badass. He's, like, the best orc warrior and all that stuff. But he just comes off as, well, he tried something, but he was easily defeated. And now he's trying to pick up the pieces, like, all over Draenor.
And then Gul'dan just goes, you're a bad leader.
Yeah, and, like, Gul'dan has been a pretty good villain this expansion because, like, he's kind of waiting in the shadows for everyone else to mess up, and then he just came over and took over.
Yeah, like, it's like he knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, too? And Gul'dan is, like, the perfect villain for this expansion because it's like, you know, he's the one, you know, like, he's the one that wants the orcs to drink the demon blood and cause all the bad things to happen. And it's like, we're not really here to stop that event from happening, but, like, that could be what the story's about. And I mean, think about it. The theme's there, too, where it's like, don't give in to these things or whatever. You know, is like, that's like the heart of, like, the orc story in World, and not World of Warcraft, but Warcraft in general, where it's like, you know, we're not just bloodthirsty monsters. We're not just here for war. We're a people. We have honor. We have culture, you know. So, like, that's a great theme to explore. And I don't think they're doing that. There's all these weird missed opportunities. It's really strange. I don't, like, get it.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, even though, like, I like the level up stuff, I was wondering if there's a better way to go about it. Like, what if the reason we went to Draenor is because we heard that Garrosh went there with, like, technology, and he's, like, you know, giving technology to people, which he did.
Yeah.
But by the time we get there, like, in the way it is now, it's like he already has been there for a couple of years, and the Iron Horde was established, and they're attacking Azeroth. What if we went there and we saw the beginnings of all that, and, like, the level-up process was the Iron Horde gaining power.
Yeah, yeah.
And, we prevent a huge invasion of Azeroth as the first raid, or, like, the level, or the end of, like, the level-up experience.
That's another theme, right? That's another, like, you know, oh, well, we know how this might end. We have to stop the future from happening. And everyone's terrified of what it could mean, you know? Like, it could really bring you into what, like, Warcraft 1 was about in a storytelling way. But they don't do that either. It's like, here's just a big bad guy for you to fight. And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, like, what if, like, you go there and, like, it's before they drink the blood and you start hearing rumors about this warlock called Gul'dan who's been communicating with demons. And, like, you kind of experience that story while just kind of, I don't know what you're doing, looking for Garrosh or whatever. But
while you're sitting in your garrison waiting for herbs to grow.
So you're sitting in your garrison and they're like, oh, there's a rumor of a meeting of the clans. And, like, you go there and, like, you're like, oh, God, this is where they drink the blood. And all of a sudden, like, you see the warlord's, like, cinematic take place. You're like, oh, my God, history's changed. And then, like, the last part of the level up stuff is, like, these orcs gaining power and becoming more powerful, and all of a sudden you've seen a villain be built up from nothing into a real threat.
I mean, like, if I were writing it, you know, but I mean, like, what if we come here to try to stop an invasion but showed up, like, too early or something, and then, like, you know, everyone's trying to prevent this thing from happening, you know, Thrall's just like, I have to meet my father, and then, like, you know, inadvertently we scare them into drinking the demon blood or something. I mean, like, again, there's all these, but they stated explicitly this isn't a time travel story, even though it is, which is really weird. It's I don't know, it's very odd. Like I said, I feel very much that Blizzard had, they were like, you know, let's do this because it'll be cool, because we'll get to fight all these big orc warlords, and it'll be a neat thing to see Outland remade. And that was why they did it, and then there's a lot of potential there that they just didn't explore because they didn't think about it, or they didn't think about it very much. I would be okay with all of that if, like, because that's just the story, right? But as far as the gameplay goes, there's a lot of other really bizarre things that they've done, in my opinion anyway, gameplay wise. Which do we want to get to, like, the, like, no flying and stuff, for example? Or?
Well, yeah, like, just one more note on the story. Like, by the time get to, like, what's his butt?
Blackhand?
No. Oh. No, like, during that cutscene where he drinks the blood.
Garrosh.
No, the... Oh. No, like, the orc that wasn't even in the game till that point.
Grona. No.
Kilrog.
Okay, yeah.
When a Kilrog, like, drinks the blood, which, you know, he appeared in, like, the Tanan jungle thing, and then you never even hear his name again, pretty much.
It's like you forget who he is, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, you know why he drank the blood? Because he's the only one left alive. And, like,
yeah, it's...
I don't really feel like, I don't feel like we should have been killing warlords, but, like, he was the only one left.
I you know? I don't mind that, like, Blackhand was a good final boss. I thought that was fine, but it's really weird that we also killed Ner'zhul. Like, Ner'zhul is just, like, a throwaway villain in this. Like, I mean, I know he does some cool stuff in Shadow Moon Valley, but I really wish that he was, like, a big raid boss somewhere.
I thought that, like, he was gonna come back as, like, a... As, like, pretty much still. The Lich King. You know?
He might still, who knows.
Yeah,
but like, there's that Kargath. Again, it's a good fight on its own, but it's really weird that they just were like, let's just kill off Kargath here. I've heard, unless they change it, I've heard that Kilrog is not even that exciting of a fight. He's not even the last boss, and like, when you fight him, he basically doesn't do anything. He's just kind of like, he does some very basic mechanics you have to deal with, and then you're fine. I think you get teleported to Undercity or whatever, briefly.
Undercity?
Well, like, yeah, it's something weird about how, like, you know, Kilrog's lore is that he's missing an eye. Like, the Deadeye clan pulls out one of their eyes to, like, see the vision of their own death or whatever. Yeah. And so that's kind of what it's themed on. But, like according to the Fat Boss guys, they're saying it's just not a very fun fight. Like, he's very basic compared to a lot of the other fights in there. And it's like, that's so sad. You know, I mean, like, maybe they'll make it better, but...
If he knows how he's going to die and he drinks the blood, I mean, that does kind of make sense because he knows it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, he's the only one left, like I said.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, imagine if they kept all the warlords alive, and, like, they were all of, like, the final bosses at, like, the very end or something, you know, like, I mean, because it's like, why is the expansion called Warlords of Draenor now? It has nothing to do with them anymore. It's like, what? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, like, the next raid is a Hellfire Citadel. Which is like a big, like, Burning Legion thing. And they sent an interview. They didn't write out and say it, but they kind of imply that there's still going to be more content after this. So, like, there might be another raid after Hellfire.
I mean, how would there not be?
And if, like, Archimonde is the last boss, and we might not get any closure with anything else, like, yeah, there has to be more stuff. But they did say... like, story content, they didn't say raid, so I don't know what's going on.
It's really bizarre. Well, they keep saying, oh, we have our next expansion ready, and it's like, I don't know what, unless the next expansion takes place on Draenor again, I don't know what they're doing. They might surprise us, but...
I have a prediction that Gul'dan will not die during this expansion, and he's going to make contact with the demons, and we're going to Argus, or some demon-infested world.
See, this is what confuses me again about this, though. So this is an alternate universe that we're in. This is technically, like, a second burn. If we go to Argus on this universe and fight that Burning Legion, what about the Burning Legion in Universe Prime?
He might go through the portal. Like, we have
I know this is getting all, like, Homestuck territory, but I mean,
it's like Universe A. It's like the doomed universe.
Yeah, like, I don't understand what's happening. I mean, like,
Well, that's why the story's, like... They just ignore it, which is probably the best choice, to be honest, about the alternate history thing.
See, I disagree. I disagree with that. I think that, like, I think the best way to end it would be to have things really go haywire near the end, where it's like, oh, there's a Burning Legion invasion? This is all gonna go nuts. Like, that's the biggest threat that there is here, because we could end up with two Burning Legions, and, you know, our universe can't support it. And then, like, our ultimate choice is to somehow close this universe off entirely, and either let it die or let it survive. Like, you know, basically, it's just like, we have to let it go without our influence. That would be how I would end it, where it's like, we've done all we can, we've stopped the Iron Horde, you know, it's time for Draenor to, like, make its own choices, and we're gonna step back to Azeroth and let them do that. That's how I would do it, anyway.
It's like the ending cutscene's gonna be us walking through the portal and Grommash's just waving, bye!
Because, I mean, like, that's the part that, I mean...
You know, when he becomes our ally in a Hellfire, you know that?
Does he really?
Yeah, like, I was watching the Fat Boss Archimonde thing, and, like...
How does...
Like, Garrosh is there fighting Archimonde with you.
You mean Grommash? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Garrosh, you said.
Garrosh.
Um, That was something else plot.
What if they reanimated Garrosh?
He's like,
it's like the bones of his son.
Like,
I mean, that's the kind of stuff I would kind of like, you know?
That's something else, too, is that, like, Garrosh just, like, kind of shows up and disappears. Like, it's like, you know, oh, Garrosh is here in Nagrand. He's
here. You wouldn't even have known that Garrosh escaped from prison, went into a portal that took him to the past, unless you read stuff on their website. Like,
it's so, yeah, I mean, again, it's a really weird, like.
And then when he shows up in Nagrand, he's like, wait, why is Garrosh here?
It would be a great character moment to have Thrall, maybe they didn't know he was there, and then they discovered him, and Thrall was just like, it's Garrosh, or whatever. But no, they don't, you go over there, and there's like a quest, and then Thrall goes like, we've cornered Garrosh and Nagrand. It's like, we did?
We what?
Like, when did this happen? Yeah, it's just like.
Yeah, we know, right? I thought I heard, like, during the beta that, like, there was a Pandarian quest line about the Shadowpan tracking down Garrosh, and that was like an overarching story.
I never
saw. But maybe that. I just misunderstood what they said, because there is like a Shadowpan in Nagrand, like a NPC, but he doesn't like mention that he's there searching for Garrosh.
He's just like, "Hello, I'm sampling the brews from Draenor."
I forget what he's doing there. Yeah,
I mean it's really weird. But I mean, all of that aside, like I said before, I could forgive it if not for like other really weird things. Like we probably won't touch on this much because neither of us are big PvPers. But I have a friend of mine who I lately just do nothing but complain about when we're in Draenor with, and she's a really big PvPer, right? And like that's like all she plays the game for, that and like role playing or whatever. And she was saying that like. Ashran is such a giant like blunder as well, where it's like we're gonna make Altrak Valley again. They do this every expansion, you notice this? We gotta bring back Altrak Valley, and like it never works. So like Ashran is just such a mess apparently. Like
I went in there twice to see what it was like, and like it just was a big ball of people in the middle of the zone.
Well, that's what I think they were going for, but even since that, I guess it's like, you know, there's no point to doing it, so, you know, who cares?
At least during, like, Wintergrasp and that place in a Cataclysm, once you, like, won, then you got a raid boss.
Yeah, but see, this is the weird thing about Ashran, is that you can't win, quote-unquote. There is no winner or loser. It's just supposed to be an ever-ongoing battle. And it's like, well, if you can't win, then why should I care? And therefore, like, most people just didn't bother with it.
Can't you kill the commander? Like, isn't that the goal?
I guess, but I mean, like, it's not considered winning. I don't know how to explain it. It's really strange that there's no, like, the battle just never ends. Like, that's supposed to be the idea, and it doesn't work. It's really strange. And that's just one thing on a pile of other things.
Yeah, so let's get into some of the gameplay stuff. I mean, the game plays just as well as it always has. Like, they got rid of a lot of abilities.
Which I don't mind. I mean, it's not like, made any difference to me.
Yeah, to make things a little simpler.
Like, I don't have Eyes of the Beast anymore. Oh, yeah. No.
and they did the item level squish, which turned out to be not a big deal. And in fact, our health is
right
like,
it's
almost exactly right where it was.
So what's the point?
they also like doubled the health, so that's why it's so
true
high.
Too,
but all that's fine. Like, level up experience is good. Has good dungeons. Like, the raids have been just as good as Myst, I think.
Yeah, the raids have been fine. I mean, I would say that High Maul is kind of weird. It's a little bit out of place. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, there's an ogre city here. Let's go fight the ogres. And it's like, okay, here's a mushroom boss. Here's an earth monster boss. You know, it's just a bunch of. But I mean, like, I kind of consider that to be filler content, kind of anyway. And it's kind of like Mogushan Vaults. It really doesn't have much to do with anything. It's just sort of there. While they got, like, you know, the real raid together, which was Blackrock Foundry.
Mm-hmm. So one big thing, I guess it's kind of a big thing, is the no flying in Draenor, even at max level.
This has been a heated topic of discussion on the forums.
I'm pretty sure on the MMO Champion forums, like, this topic has over 3,000 pages.
It's crazy. People are so mad.
And, well, like, every once in a while I look at it, and there's, like, no productive argument going on. There.
Yeah. Well, like, so here's my argument. I think we should have flying, at least by now. I think that you should have gotten it at level 100, and here's my reasoning. They said that, you know, oh, well, flying ruins the experience, and I would agree with them, because Cataclysm is the prime example of, like, oh, here's the quest, I'm just going to fly straight there, do the quest, and fly straight back. There's no, like, enjoying the world or traveling or any of that. It makes everything feel a lot smaller. I completely agree. But having to run on foot to do all of the quests hasn't really changed the game experience for me. I'm not going like, wow, these mountains are so cool looking, you know, like, I'm not saying that any more than I used to. Like, I'm not really inconvenienced much by running, and I'm not really out in the world either, because the garrison exists. So, like, the fact that we can't fly has had absolutely zero impact on the game to me.
I mean, sometimes there's a max level quest, like for the garrison campaign or one of the other things, where you have to climb up a mountain and find a thing. Yeah. And if you can fly, you can just fly right up there. It's like, yeah, I get that. But, like, I don't know, like, I don't really mind that much, like, so I don't really care. But it's like, at this point, it's like you haven't made the world engaging enough to disallow that. Like, I stopped doing the Apexis Crystals quest when I realized that
the rewards are bad.
Yeah, like, the rewards are bad, and I can just replace them super easily without any effort.
Yeah. Well, because they got rid of... This is something else, too. They got rid of Justice Points, so, like, you know... I mean, Justice Points were a good way to keep you doing content, you know, because, yeah. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to collect these to buy things, like, even if it's cosmetic. But that's not in the game anymore, so now it's like, oh, well, I don't need to do any of this content anymore, and you just don't. Like, there's no point.
I mean, they do have some mounts and some followers you can buy with the Pexis Crystals. But it's all kind of, like, recolors of stuff that's already in the game.
Yeah.
So, like, if they had a, I don't know, this really cool mount that cost 1 million of Pexis Crystals, maybe not that much, but, like, it's like, yeah, maybe I'll spend a few weeks actually doing that.
Well, and even then, once you did that, you would stop doing it after that, though. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's a currency that you can earn by going and doing stuff in the world, but that, like, doesn't last forever. And Justice Points did last forever, because every new patch, there was going to be more crap you had to buy. So, like, you know, people were always doing the heroics, they were always, you know, they're always doing the content, and now it's like, well, there's no real need to. They also swung into the exact opposite extreme for daily quests, and I don't think it was a good idea. Like, originally, so in Mists of Pandaria, it was a big deal. People were like, oh, there's too many daily quests. And I criticize people on this all the time when they complain about it and say that daily quests weren't the problem. It wasn't even the amount of daily quests. It's the way they were introduced. Blizzard had, like, 6 different daily hubs. Or there's, like, one for each faction when you hit level 90. And they each had, like, a group of quests. And I think that they intended for people to just do them, like, you know, like, oh, well, I feel like doing Klaxi for now. And that's, like, all they would do. But, you know, people being people are going to, you know, they're going to go do all of them. Because, like, I need the gear. And it's, like, you can't fault people for that. Because they're going to try to get the best gear that they can. So, like, and that was something that Blizzard would always try to defend. Like, oh, well, you don't have to have this gear. It's, like, yeah, but you make it available. People are going to do everything they can to get it. And so, like, that meant that grinding dailies was a thing, and that it went really overboard because there was so many, there were just way too many options. People got really, really easily overwhelmed, and people not knowing how to explain or articulate the problem just said, it's daily quests, that's the fault. So, you know, Blizzard was like, all right, we're going to get rid of daily quests altogether. And
well,
now it's like,
not even that, they kind of perfected, like, the daily quests, I thought, in the Isle of Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sure, it took a while to, like, go through all the daily quests sometimes. But, like, they rolled them out so you're unlocking parts of the island, and at the end of it, if you got Exalted, then you got a cool Triceratops mount.
They were all in one place in the world as well, and they were random, you know, so...
Yeah, and, like, the gear you got by getting reputation, if I remember correctly, there weren't any trinkets in Throne of Thunder bosses.
But not a lot.
Yeah, but you got the trinkets through the reputation.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for the most part.
Yeah, so, like, even if, like, you're doing raiding, there was still a reason to do it, because you get, like, the best-in-slot trinket by doing the daily quest.
Plus, it was a lot of money, And if you're doing the PvP daily quests, it was a lot of honor. So, I mean, it gave you a reason to go there and do stuff, and the content wasn't bad. I mean, the island looked nice. The quests were usually random all the time, so, you know, you were always doing something different every day. I mean, it was fine. There was really nothing wrong with it, but then they made the Timeless Isle, and it was just like, no more daily quests. And
well,
like,
that was the big experiment.
Yeah.
Experiment. It's like, can we make content without any quests?
Yeah.
And like, for the most part, I think that was fine for what it was. And then they say, oh, like, so like level up in Draenor is going to be a lot of this. You find random mobs to get upgrades and
lots of rares and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that was pretty cool too.
Well, but here's the thing. There's no point to go do any of them. Like back with the Throne of Thunder, like getting the timeless coins and farming the gear upgrades had purpose to it, but now it's like, oh, you get garrison resources by killing all these. It's like, okay, sure, but well, I have a cache that just has like 500 garrison resources.
Well, like for leveling up, like I definitely liked finding, like if I ran across a rare mob, I'd be like, oh, I can get this, and maybe I'll get like an epic piece of gear for leveling up. Yeah. And at that point, like you weren't getting as many garrison resources, so like the 15 or 20 you would get, that would be not bad.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, I guess the garrison has been like the biggest failure.
Yeah, which is ironic because it's also the biggest like
it's the biggest feature. Thing.
It's the biggest feature in the expansion,
and it was probably one of the best things leveling up. It was a lot of fun, like doing all that stuff.
It's just in a long term experience, it kind of ruins the game, and like this has been my biggest issue is that, you know, and I'm sure we'll discuss why, but Blizzard has defended it. And, like, I mean, they're not going to get rid of it. They're not going to do that. But at the same time, moving into future expansions, I kind of hope that there isn't a garrison. Because, like, it's really dumbed the game down in a bad way.
I think there would be elements of it, but definitely not the big base, like, your own personal base thing anymore.
I like the personal base. I like it more when you can decorate it, and you really can't with it. Like, I want to have my own personal base where, like, you know, I mean, not only can I choose the guards and flags, but, like, you know, the color palette, or, like, the I want to be able to hang stuff around, like, things that I find. You can kind of do that with archaeology, but it's all kind
of,
like,
you can do that a little bit. Like, you can change the guards if you want, if you have a barrack.
Yeah, it all just seems like an afterthought, though, to me. Yeah. Like, it's... I don't know. Like, the biggest thing with the barracks, the garrison, is that you log into the game and, like, you'll go do some chores, if you even do that, and then run in circles and then log off, and that's it. You know, I mean, like, there's nothing else to it. Your garrison is all your work for you. You know, I mean...
Yeah, like, you can make... I mean, you said you're making enough money with garrison missions to pay for your subscription because they added in the WoW token.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I went to the tavern, and I hired a whole bunch of followers that all have gold finding. So I get double gold for, like, everything. And I leveled them all up. And then, like, you know, I have an add-on that sets the missions, you know, like, it sets the mission parties for me at this point. I used to do it manually until, like, last week. And then I'll log in every, like, 3 or 4 hours and check on it. And then, like, just, you know, hit a button. They all go out automatically. And then log back out. And that's it. And Blizzard was like, well, at least... people are still logging in to do that. It's like, that's not a good thing. Like, what are you thinking, you know?
I mean, I would log in and miss a Pandaria for an hour doing daily quests. But now I just have to log in for 5 minutes, like, to get, like, do the gold one. Like, every couple weeks there's, like, a weapons cache, or, you know, like, a raid cache. And, like, and at this point I'm getting Mythic Blackrock Foundry gear, so technically I'm getting my best in slot items from a garrison mission.
Yeah.
Like, last week I got the a Warforged mythic necklace with a stat on it. It was like leech or something.
Yeah.
Like, that is my best in slot necklace. Unless it had like a gem in it, it would be better.
Now, I will say this, that's great for alts. I love that for my alts, and I don't mind it that much in my main. I mean, you can... If you're in, like, a progression raiding guild...
I'm not so really mad about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, it's a weird perspective. So, like, I actually quit recently. I did it on a stream. I was so mad at them. I was on Twitch and did all of this. I went and yelled at them and quit the guild. But, like, I was in like a progression raiding guild for a while, and like when you're killing, when you push to get all those bosses down as early as possible, and you're just killing them all the time, you know, you're gonna get that loot before it's gonna show up in your cache anyway. It's not a big deal, but for alts, it's wonderful. And even if like you're not someone who raids a whole lot on your main, or maybe you're in a guild that's, you know, a little bit more laid back or whatever, I'm sure that that's really helpful as well. So I don't mind that. I mean, that kind of takes the place of justice or conquest gear, in my opinion.
Anyway. Oh yeah, like our raid team is pretty middle of the road in terms of like how good we are. Like we're doing heroics, and like I'm sure those mythic level items that we've gotten over the past few weeks have, you know, helped out a little bit. You know, like getting some of these bosses down.
It's funny, we're having this podcast, and I happen to be logged in at the time, and someone who I've not talked to for, like, years messages me on Battle.net and goes, like, so what are your thoughts on no flying possibly ever? And then, like, has this big rambling angry rant about it. And I was like, that's funny, I'm talking about this right now. I don't know, it's...
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they learned from this expansion in, like, almost every area, because see what they do with the next one. Because, like, Blizzard always does that. They try something, and then they kind of overdo it the next expansion.
Yeah.
And so, like, the stuff that works always works really well from that point, but there's always something else that, like, unbalances it in a lot of ways.
Well,
flying thing, I think, like I said, I think it's perfectly fine. But the content they created doesn't justify it yet.
Yeah. That's actually exactly what I said here. I was like, you know, it's like I was all behind the idea at first when they kind of talked about why they were making the decision, because their logic behind it is sound. But the content that they provided, you know, where they're like, you know, now you get to really, because like there is art in video games. Like you can play a lot of games, and the way that the level design directs your attention and emotions is art, you know? So, like, it's not impossible to say, like, all right, Draenor is going to be designed in such a way that, like, you're really intrigued to explore it, but that was never the case. So, like, was there really a point to taking out flying when I'm still just running from point A to point B to do a quest? Like, I'm not really exploring at all.
Yeah, like, you're not going out and farming herbs for the most part because you have an herb farm.
Yeah.
In your garrison, you have a mine for ore,
You're not doing dailies because your followers do them for you.
Yeah, like if you do, like you're not doing Apexis Crystal dailies if you're smart, because why the heck would you?
Yeah, I mean,
They had to add like a random chance to get that, like that purple mount.
Yeah,
that like bird mount, like that raven mount, as like just as an incentive to go to those areas. And that's fine and everything, but But yeah, it's like every week when I go to Blackrock Mountain, I fly to the Everbloom Wilds, I use my item that makes me like shoot up in the air and float. And I float right to the raid entrance. Because like I don't want to run through that level 100 area with mobs attacking me while I'm trying to get to my raid.
Yeah, I mean like I look back at like Burning Crusade. So like a lot of people keep looking back to Burning Crusade. I think they're dumb because I think Burning Crusade was not a perfect expansion in any way. But a lot of people look back to that right now, and I can't help but look back to that for some of these examples, like no flying in like Azeroth, where it's like, okay, well, you know, like we have to get to Karazhan, and it's like there's a flight point nearby, and you got to run through Deadwind Pass and like avoid Alliance. And I have fond memories of that. Or, like, fond memories of dealing with Groll's Lair and stuff, you know. But that's not going to happen in Warlords of Draenor because it's not Burning Crusade anymore. No one gives a crap about PvP anymore like they used to. People just want to get in and do their stuff and get out. And it's like, I feel like they've accommodated that way too much. There's not a lot of limitation in the ways that they said that they were going to limit us. It doesn't really work. It's a really weird... Like, my best summary of this expansion is that they it's like Mists of Pandaria was kind of disliked for whatever reason. I don't understand because I thought it was fine, but they suffered like subscriber loss during it. So they went to the forums. I'm not saying this actually happened, just this is what it feels like. They went to the forums, looked at every like big complaint post, and like just took the face value and did the exact extreme opposite. And that's Warlords of Draenor, and it doesn't work. But that's my It's my synopsis of how it feels, so...
Yeah, like, I'm hoping 6.2 moving forward. I mean, because, like, they're kind of resetting, like, the garrison thing. Like, they're going to have new resources, like, a new thing to build up with your naval fleet and all that. it'll be interesting to see like how they kind of expand on all that stuff, and if it'll be even radically different or whatever. We'll see how the rest of the expansion plays out. That's really good stuff. Like, there's been a lot of good stuff. Like we said, like the little like stories you get in each zone, for the most part, are really good. The graphics are still like really good for like this really old game. The flexible raid size has been like the best thing in the expansion, pretty much.
Oh yeah, I'll agree to that. Yeah. Like the raid finder as well. Like I think it's funny that this is a game that was originally built to be like play with your friends, and now it's like do it yourself with a random group of friends. You know.
I mean, it's been great having anywhere from 10, like, our raid group is about 16 people, but we rarely have all 16.
Yeah.
So this is great to have, like, it doesn't matter if we have 12 or 14 people, they can all come raid with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, and I wish that they would have done that earlier. That probably would have helped the game a lot back in the day. I don't know if they could have done it earlier, but, I mean, that's one of those things. I mean, we talked about this before, how, like, every expansion has been, like, an experiment to see, like, what the perfect raid size is, and they could just never hit it, and it's like, I don't even know why they do, like, 10 and 20 man, and, like, it doesn't matter, you know, like, just give us one raid size that everybody's used to, or make it flexible, and that's, you know, that's my take on that, but I think what they're doing now is perfect, so.
Yeah, like, it hasn't made, like, heroics are still pretty difficult, so it's not like having 16 as opposed to like 30 people is easier in most cases. Yeah.
So like I said, I'm talking to this guy on my friends list. I mentioned him in a podcast. He's just suddenly spouting all this stuff about data mines and stuff, and I need to bring this up because I'm curious about it. But like apparently, one, there's a joke item or there's a gray item that was data mined called like the Guide to Soaring the Skies in Draenor or whatever. Now it's just like a gray book that you can't do anything with. Which I think is funny. And apparently there's like been such an outcry that they're refunding people money that bought the flying mount or something. I don't know. I need to look this up.
You mean like the new mount they put on the store?
I don't know if it's the store mount. Let me read this. It says at least they're refunding people who bought the new flying mount. You know.
Oh, you mean the flying mount that still flies and is used as a ground mount as well?
Yeah, I don't know why they would refund that. That sounds really strange. I mean, Blizzard's pretty nice with its customers for the most part, so I wouldn't.
I never got that argument that they're selling flying mounts in the store when you can't fly. Like, I understand it a little bit. Like,
was that actually an argument? Because I never saw that one. I'm sure it's out there, but
in the like flying post on MMO Champion, you know, that's a big thing. Yeah, like they have a picture of it flying in Shadow Moon Valley, and that you can't even do that, and all that stuff.
A bunch of liars.
I mean, but Blizzard made all of the store mounts, even before this expansion, usable on the ground.
I saw a big forum thread arguing, or someone was really mad about how Blizzard has store mounts that look really amazing. And they were saying, like, how dare you make these things you pay with money look better than the in-game ones? And the guy is saying, is like, the only reason you think that they look better is because you have to buy them. Like,
well,
I
don't really disagree with that, like... The mounts on Draenor, you know, it's cool to have, like, a hippopotamus and, like, a...
Yeah.
On the Elec and all
the
that
really
stuff.
The unique ones, store mount.
Yeah, but, like, I broke down and bought the Grinning Reaver mount because, like, that looks awesome. And, like, you can't really get it anywhere else. You can get the Archaeology one that has low polygon version of that model, basically. And it's really hard to get. Or it's really rare to get. And, so, like, okay, I'll buy this, but, like, man, this should have been one of those rewards. Like you can have a faction that you get exalted with, and this probably should have been the reward for the end of it. Because it fits right in with everything else in the expansion.
I mean, like I could see, like, special reskins, right? Like, Heroes of the Storm's got a pretty good model of having, like, you can earn all the heroes or whatever, and then, like, the special reskins you have to buy. So, like, what if they had, like, the Grinning Reaver? Like, you could get it in-game, but then there was, like, a store version of it that was, like, made of stars or something, you know? Like, that, like, sure, you know? Like, I could understand that. But it's really weird that... I kind of see the point because there's so many really unique-looking models that you can only get from the store, and it's, like...
But for the most part, most part, the store models are kind of things unrelated to what's going on.
Yeah.
But, like, with the Warlords of Draenor mounts, like, they released that Sky Reaver, like, even before the expansion came out, like during Mists of Pandaria.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a creature that, you know, is part of the expansion. Like, there is no, relics or Rylax. Like, there are no mounts in the game for this creature that's everywhere.
And you see other people riding. I'm sure it's because there's a store mount.
A store mount. Yeah, and like
they gotta make that money.
And like the Reaver mount, like you see those things all over Draenor, they're really cool, but it's a store mount. But at least in Mists of Pandaria, they have like the flying goat. It's like, well, there's no flying goats on Pandaria, so like, yeah, that's fine.
The flying saber, I think, is okay in that regard, because again, it has nothing to do with anything. It's just like, a flying night saber. I mean,
it's kind of like it's kind of Shadow Moon Valley-ish and how it looks and everything. But yeah, like there's no ruined lightsabers or whatever in
Dream. Yeah, Wars, like I can accept that. It's just I don't know. To be honest, I just don't care about the storm. I mean, I've bought a few of them, but like it doesn't change the gameplay. It's like when people fight over a mount drop in a raid where it's like, "Oh, we killed the boss and this rare mount has dropped," and everyone fights about it. I remember my favorite one, we killed Heroic Jikun, and some guy in the raid, we did a raid leader rolled, and then gave it to the person that corresponded with his role or whatever in the group, and someone's like, "Oh, that's not transparent enough," and then we got in an argument about, like, whether the government should be more transparent because of that. I mean, like, people get into arguments about politics over in-game mount drops. It's a big deal to people, and I've never understood that. And, like, that's why I just don't really give a crap about the store ones, because they look cool, but it's not going to make me a better player, or, like...
Well, I mean, like, we're adults. If we want to spend $25 on a mount, like, it's not going to be a big deal for us.
Yeah.
But, like, I can imagine if you're, like, in school or whatever. It can be like,
yeah.
Well, even then, it's like you're paying $15 a month, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It'd be different if it was like, you know, oh, I bought this thing that allows me to like level up. Well, I guess that's kind of just buying a pre-made level 90 now that exists.
Yeah, which you can do. Which I don't have a problem with either.
Yeah, I don't really care about that either, because it's like I've leveled up 15 characters or whatever. Like at this point, who cares, you know? World of Warcraft is like a 20-year-old game or whatever it is. It's not 20 years old, but it's a really old game. Like, I think the moral of the story is that, like, you should probably just have fun with it and not care, which is kind of contradicting everything I've said about not liking Warlords.
Well, like, I was listening to, I think, the Blizzard Watch podcast, and they were talking about how they really wished they would fix up some, like, the broken quest and the level up stuff, and make the experience more cohesive and not be as fast. And I was like, no, they're not going to do that, because they don't want people playing Wrath of the Lich King. They want people playing what the newest thing is.
I think Ghostcrawler, who no longer works for Blizzard, has said some of the most profound things about Blizzard I've ever read since leaving. One of them being that, like, people remember that content. They were shaped by it. I mean, this is a long time ago at this point. A lot of us were much younger. Our gaming experiences and nostalgia were shaped by that content. The fact that we're still playing the same game means that a lot of people are going to say, like, well, the game was just better this way. And that, like, the fact is you can never recapture that. They're never going to make a patch for World of Warcraft that's going to feel like Burning Crusade anymore. It's just never going to happen, and people should get over it. This is something Ghostcrawler said. I mean, it was on Twitter, so it's much shorter and more concise.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, yeah, like he's had a few times where he's like gone on a game philosophy rants.
Yeah,
and, like, even World of Warcraft, like, explain his roles in World of Warcraft. Since he doesn't work there anymore, that has been like, I don't really remember much of it at this point after like look at it again. But it's like, yeah, I mean, that's why Blizzard does what it does.
Yeah,
and like, some people don't like it, some people do. Like, if Warlords of Draenor was the expansion after the game launched, it would be, like, mind-blowing. It would be the most amazing MMO experience ever created.
I know, it's like, but people don't think of it that way because they look back so fondly at older expansions because it's nostalgic, you know?
And, like, we look back, and, like, this kind of looking back, but, like, all the stuff in Burning Crusade that was just still, like, really inconvenient, like, having a 10-man raid. Okay, that's cool. And then you need 25 people to do the next thing. It's like...
Yeah, well, and see, but back then, we considered that to be, like, revolutionary, because we didn't know any better, you know, I mean... I don't know. World of Warcraft is a weird experience anymore, just because, like, you look back at it like that, but...
Well, like when the expansion launched, people were saying, like, why are we not getting any new abilities, like, and all that stuff? And they said flat out, it's like, we've been making this game for 10 years. It's like, there has to come a point where you just have to stop adding things.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. I remember when Wrath of the Lich King came out, and they were just kind of introducing the tokens to buy gear with. And I remember saying, people complaining about that. Now they look back, it's like, oh, Wrath of the Lich King was the best expansion ever. But like, people are like, oh, this expansion sucks. I remember saying, like, you know what, this is an old game. Even back then, I was saying this is an old game. It's older than any other game I've ever played. And you can't expect it to be perfect all the time. And, like, I mean, I feel like that's just kind of what we're seeing now, is that, like, I don't want to say they've run out of ideas, because that's not true. It's just that, like, there's only so much you can do with the World of Warcraft formula, and I believe they're doing everything they can, and it's as good as it could ever be. And it's, like, I think to me it's plateaued because of that. I'm really excited for Blizzard's future games and stuff, but, like, World of Warcraft, I'm sure I'll keep playing it. But, like, it's World of Warcraft, you know, I mean, like, I think that's a lot of people came back to it and said, oh yeah, World of Warcraft, I remember this, I'm gonna restart my subscription. And they went, oh, I gotta do quests and kill 10 boars and raid again. It's like, oh, that's right, well, like, that World of Warcraft.
Well, like, that might not even be the problem. Like, they've also said, oh, there's thunder.
Oh my.
They also said that, it's like people who played World of Warcraft 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Are married with kids now.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I don't remember if I said this on a podcast or not, I remember in Burning Crusade, having 12-year-olds in the guild. Doesn't happen anymore, by the way. Children don't play World of Warcraft, well, it's not hip.
Our tank duo is a middle-aged father and his 13-year-old kid.
Oh, well, okay, I guess if you're...
But he's playing with his dad, like, I don't think he would be playing it if it wasn't because of that.
My joke was going to be that, you know, all the kids these days playing Call of Duty or whatever.
Well, they're playing, like, League of Legends and Dota 2. That's what they're playing now. It's like
we're
the
old men,
group of people that would have been into playing World of Warcraft and EverQuest 10 years ago are now playing Dota and League.
Yeah. It's just a lot of people have grown up and have jobs and can't, I mean... I remember spending all day on this game in the past. It's like, oh, I gotta get out of farm stuff. It's like, I'm not doing that anymore. I think Blizzard knows that. I think that it's tailored to those kinds of people.
Oh, they absolutely know that now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have the garrison.
Yeah,
that you log in for 5 minutes. And I think they overdid it way too much. It's kind of funny. Like, I was, for some reason, I've been getting into fishing in World of Warcraft.
It's like, that's like the last thing you have left to do.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, me going out fishing and doing the daily quest for fishing has me more engaged than almost anything else at level 100. Past the garrison missions.
Did you know that you can do things to put? Like, I guess. No, okay, I'm sorry. There's garrison fishing quests that require you to go out into the world.
Yeah.
That was some of the first content I did, because I've been leveling fishing since, you know, Mists of Pandaria. So it's like, I gotta get my fishing up so I can get food for the guild.
This is what happened. I was like, okay, I got a quest to do this, and I started fishing. I was like, oh, I have a hook that will automatically fillet the fish. Now I can do more fishing. And then I was like, oh, there's these schools. This has been around forever, but like, oh, there's these schools of fish that will automatically give me the stuff I need, and I can fillet them automatically. And I was like, oh, I can track the fish now, so I can, like, explore the water and find the fish pools. And I was like...
You might even get a turtle one day that moves at walking speed.
Well, I think that's in the old stuff. But yeah, I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually, like, engaged in this fishing. And, well, like, I can do it while, like, listening to something else, and, like...
Because it requires you to go out and do something.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else at level 100 does that at all. The only thing I can think, if you got a barn, and you gotta go trap animals, you know, that requires you to go out. But even then, it's like, oh, all I really need are the boars right outside the garrison. So I'm just going to walk right outside and trap, like, 5 boars and put them in the thing. I'm done for the week. You know,
what they probably should have done is make the bonus rolls tied to Apexis crystals only.
Yeah.
And not make them so abundant. And that would have been a reason to go out and do those quest in the Apexis Crystal Zones.
My mage has had ten of those just like forever, because like I get the 3 every week really easily, and I don't need to use them very often. So it's just like, oh well. But yeah, I mean, you can get them from garrison resources. At this point, like I'm capped on garrison resources anymore.
If you buy them all with the garrison resources and just wait for your cash to reload every few days, you can probably make it up without doing anything.
That's actually not true.
Well, maybe it's not.
Okay, but I mean, it's really close. You could do 2 out of that, and then like 1 out of gold or something. You know, and it's like you're fine.
Yeah, but then you have like the garrison quest where you can get like an insane amount if you have a follower.
Yeah, I mean, I've got 4 followers that have scavenger as well. Yeah. So like that you know, here's a garrison quest for resources, and it's going to give me 2,000 garrison resources or whatever now, because I could just send all my scavengers on it, so who cares, you know?
Remember Cataclysm, when people thought that was the worst expansion?
I know, but the Conan expansion was gonna destroy World of Warcraft back in the Burning Crusade days. It's like, this game sucks. I'm going to go play Warhammer. In that game, you actually collide with other players. They have collisions.
Yeah. But, like, in terms of PvE content, I think it's really good and engaging still. So, not, like, that point. But, like, Mists of Pandaria, really every expansion, I felt a lot more engaged and involved with, like, the story and the environment and everything, and Warlords so far, we're about halfway through the expansion, has definitely not been that.
Yeah, which is odd, because the raid content is so good. Like, okay, I mean, how original can you make a boss in World of Warcraft at this point, you know? But even so, a lot of them are pretty, I don't want to say that they're unique, but like, they're still good. It's not
they
just
keep
like
finding ways to make it interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And usually, like, the production scale is really high, too. So, like, there's a lot of voice acting and effects and stuff, you know, which makes it fun. They're not so fun to watch on Twitch, I'll admit. It's really hard to know what's happening. But, yeah, I mean, to actually play it, it's like its own experience. And they do a good job with that, I'll admit, right up the bat. But they changed Groll's voice. So, like, in Burning Crusade, Groll was like this big scary monster man, and now he sounds like a dumb ogre guy.
Ogre.
Yeah, he like laughs and giggles in the new raid. He's like, but like in the old one, he was like really scary and like threatening and dominant and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's like when you fought Gruul in Burning Crusade, like all the what were they called?
That was like the make it or break it boss too for a lot of guilds.
Well, I mean, like, what's that species called, like, that race?
The Gron?
Are they Gron?
I'm pretty sure they're the Gron, yeah.
Yeah, but,
or
like,
Gron or something.
But, like, they're, like, if you ran into one of those in the world, it's like, you better run, because you can't beat them. Yeah. So, when you fought, Gruul, who's supposed to be, like the daddy of all Gron, it's like, you know, that was an event. And, like, when you find out that Gruul is a boss in, Blackrock Foundry, which is, it's like, oh, cool, it's like, he's just, like, some slave laborer guy now. But, like, then when you think about it, it's like, well, is he just in here because he was a boss in Burning Crusade?
It's the Archimonde thing again. Remember Groll, everybody? Remember him? Fight him again, you know?
Well, like, there's a bunch of, there's a council fight in, Hellfire, and, one of the bosses is, one of the bosses from, Black Temple. It's like that big orc guy.
Oh,
one of the council members. Like one of the people in the council
it's
fight.
Like one of the council members is just Illidan.
Yeah. Well, and like I think during one of the bosses, like a Doomlord Kazak is one of the ads you fight and stuff like that.
Okay.
And like the bosses from Hyjal are like, you know, mini bosses within the like within the raid and stuff.
It just feels like name recognition to me though. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like, you know, oh, like after Mists of Pandaria where the whole thing was like, who's this guy? And you get like they all have like this big backstory or whatever. Now it's just like, oh yeah, Archimonde's just a bad guy. Oh yeah, Kazakh's here. Okay. Here's this guy. We remember him. You know, I mean, it's not a lot of it has a lot of character. It's just a bunch of bad guys. You know, which is a complaint. I mean,
a lot of bad guys with very little build up.
Yeah.
Like
here comes Rage Winterchill. Remember him?
Well, like that, it's like the last boss in Heimal. It's just some ogre guy that you didn't have any interaction with. Well, maybe a little bit of interaction with, but like, who's this guy? Why are these stones important? We don't know. They have to write a short story to explain that months after the fact. You know?
They've come for the stones we have. I'm pretty sure we were just here. We ended up in your arena by accident, basically.
They had Cho'Gall be the mythic only last phase of that fight.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you don't know about that, then that character just drops off the face of the earth after Nagrand, and you don't know what happens to him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's not like he was used a bunch in that zone anyway.
It's the storytelling in this expansion just isn't very good.
The overall storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, the presentation is... Okay, we mentioned the presentation in Warlords is great. You know, it's like going to a fancy restaurant, and they bring out the plate of food... And it's like, you know, oh, this looks great. Look at these fresh tomatoes or whatever. And then, like, you know, you go to eat it, and it's all just made of paper. That's kind of what it is to me, anyway. It's like, oh, there's nothing here, you know.
Okay, it's all just dressing. We're kind of repeating ourselves here.
That's true, yeah.
So,
want to talk about Morrowind? No, I'm just joking.
So, yeah, we hope that the rest of the expansion ups the quality in terms of like how we spend our time, and like how the story evolves and all that stuff. But they're kind of like stuck in the corner now about what they've already done story-wise.
Yeah.
So it's
we're
like...
We're all kind of waiting to see what they're actually planning on doing here, because we're going off
the ground. So if they have a third raid tier, which they haven't said they're not, but they haven't said they are, so it's kind of weird. Like... What do you think it could be?
See, I have no clue. Unless it's like Siege on Stormwind or something really bizarre. I mean, because think about it. We all figured Tanan Jungle was going to be it. It's like, oh, we're going to go there. We're going to fight Grommish in front of the Dark Portal or whatever. Like something big and climactic. No, we're going there now. And we're going to go to Hellfire Citadel and fight a bunch of demons, which is predictable. I mean, we all kind of saw that coming. You know, we're like, oh, I bet Hellfire is going to be a raid.
I'm glad it's happening, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good choice. I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's easily predictable. Just we predicted it. But, like, I mean, Gul'dan and Grommish are still at large. There's no other characters left. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to have a whole raid, like, with those two in it. Like, oh, here's a bunch of random bosses for you to fight. And then Grommish at the end. That wouldn't make any sense.
Which they usually do anyway. But there's always more structure to... Or, like,
but context. Unless... There's the last thing they haven't done yet, which I'm waiting for them to do, and I'll be so sad and disappointed if they don't, is Shattrath City being something.
Yeah, that's like the biggest missed opportunity. It's not doing anything with one of the most iconic parts of Burning Crusade.
Yeah, I mean, unless we go there, I don't know why at this
point. Well, and like, yeah, why? It's like, I thought that would be... Like
it's the only,
I thought that would be like the middle tier.
That's what I was
where we
too.
Have to fight Legion people is because, like that zone is already very like a lot of Legion stuff, and that stuff is still being overrun by the Legion.
I mean,
so I thought that would be like a good middle raid where we have to take down those people, and then Grom is like, "Haha! While you've been doing that, I've been getting more powerful."
Well, it's like. In other expansions, you know, they're like, oh, we get to explore, you know, different cultures and stuff, you know. So, like, they really expanded the Blood Elves a whole lot, ironically, in Mists of Pandaria. It kind of came out of nowhere. But they expanded the Forsaken and stuff. So this expansion's like, oh, they're obviously going to expand, like, Orcish history and, like, Draenei history. But I really feel that they didn't do much with Draenei, like, on a grand scope.
If you leveled up in Alliance zones. That
I suppose.
You get a lot more of that.
But, like, I feel like there should have been a raid involving them, where we get to kind of see their characters, you know, all around. And, like, there's no big... Like, Shattrath would also give them the excuse to explore, like, that art style. You know, like, make a raid dungeon involving, like, big Draenei crystals and cities and stuff. Like, that would be really cool. But I have my brows raised skeptically if they're actually going to do that or not, because that sounds like it might be a too good of an idea. Like, I don't think they'll do it. I think they're going to do something weird. Like, oh, no, you're going to go and, like, Ashran will be the final raid or something. Like, what? You know?
Yeah, like, I think the time has passed on doing anything with Shattrath.
Yeah, I mean, what would even happen in it? Grommish is just there randomly. He's
This will be my new home.
I don't even know. I have no idea. But, like, it's even on the map, it's huge. It's this giant area that you just don't do anything with, you know? There's even, like, a gate on it that you can't open. It's like, what is this? You know, like, I don't know. Joseph, we're going to have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see, and I guess we'll talk about it when it's all over.
Yep.
Yep. All right, thanks for listening to us ramble.
And you relate World of Warcraft to food platters.
Yep. And we'll talk to you later.
See ya. Have fun.
Bye! We'll see you in the World of Warcraft.
Oh...
Unless you're one of the 3 million people who left. Oh.
It's a lot of... That's like a whole country of people.
I really don't feel too bad about that. Even though, like, I don't put my personal happiness related to how many subscribers World of Warcraft has. But, like, it definitely seems like 3 million people came out of curiosity and 3 million people left when they realized it wasn't their thing anymore. I mean, that kind of evens out in my mind. But, Yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
Have fun.
Bye.